brothers and sisters. Are you all today? Okay, so let me do the weekly thing. Left side. Who is behind Man Sing? Cannot see. Okay. Okay, left side all clear. Right side. We have two guests. Would you like to introduce yourself? Tell us your name. Don't worry, that's all we need from you, your name and how you got to know about this group. Yeah. Nothing fancy.
My name is Monica and Nikki Barton over here.
Uh-huh. Welcome, welcome. Okay, let's see. Well, I think the speaker is a bit, the master volume is a bit on the high side. So there's a bit of that wong, wong, you know. Who else is here for the first time? Okay, one of you sit behind. Yeah. Have you all attended before? The two of you? Huh? Not here, right? Okay, la, you all introduce one more time.
Yeah. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. My name is Wilson.
Yes. Serafina and Elfina. And she just covered her face.
Yeah.
Welcome, welcome. Yeah. I've known them for quite some number of years already, actually. Yeah. It's good to see you all here today. Welcome to SGC, where we have SGC stands for Spiritual Group Cultivation. Yeah. Where we have short chanting. Short sitting, sometimes the sitting is a bit longer, depends on how much time I use for the puja. And then we have the Dhamma sharing. Yeah. Was it the first time you all participate in the... Is it okay? You comfortable sitting on the floor? No choice. No, there are chairs behind. Yeah. Okay, let's get started. Let's see. What can we do here? So today, we're going to cover this topic here. And the topic is... Today is developing a selfless attitude. Yeah, it'll take a while for the projector to warm up. Mm. So, do you all know the topic? Developing a selfless attitude. Is it correct? Today's topic, right? Yeah. Okay. So today I decided to do a pre-session writing. Mm. So. In the outside of Buddhism, we also have this notion of selfless attitude. One could also call it altruism, altruistic attitude. Yeah. So selfless can also be written as altruistic. Altruistic attitude. Yeah. What do you all know about altruism? What do you all know about altruism? Have you ever met anyone who is altruistic? Never? You know, all zoping, you know. In a way, altruism and selfless may be slightly different. There are a huge part that they overlap. Yeah. Altruism is goes to the point of, in a way, even willing to sacrifice yourself. Yeah. Your own self-interest is put at the lower priority. Yeah, to care for others without much concern for yourself. So in a way, it's about very similar to the selfless attitude. But in Buddhism, when we talk about selfless attitude, then there are certain connotations. Yeah. It has to do with the teaching on no self. The teaching on no self. And then, Buddhism being Buddhism, we don't just say how to be no self. We say, first you must know what is self. Yeah. We have actually covered this topic before, yeah, quite a few times, yeah, on what self means. Yeah. There are many terms for it. Yeah. Mind, me, I, yeah, all these are terms related to the self. What's interesting is, you is also an expression of self in Buddhism. So self in Buddhism is not just about this, yeah. But when we say you, it is we are acknowledging a self, but it's apart from us. Yeah. You, him, her, yeah, they, yeah. All these are actually expression of self. And then if we were to take the notion of self in terms of a principle, then there's this definition, yeah, the standard three set definition, 1, 2, and 3. So the Chinese character, very strange, once in a while this guy just gets stuck in some state. Okay, I think y'all can read, huh? So, when you come for this class, you get bonus material. You get to learn Chinese as well. Yeah. So, but I don't see you taking notes, huh? The next time when you come, I'll be testing you. Yeah, not coming back again. So this is the character for I. Yeah. 我. Yeah, say 我. 我. Yeah, third tone. No, don't worry. So this sense of a self or I, yeah, there are three features to it. Yeah. In brief, 长恒住, eternal, 不变异, unchanging, and 主宰性, autonomous. Now, these are English terms, so some of the connotations may overlap, but sometimes there's a richer depth to it. Yeah, we've covered it before, and the sense is, if you consider when you say I, yeah, what does it really mean? Yeah, and in a nutshell, it is that while this body changes, yeah, is an undeniable fact that happens even as we speak, yeah, that day in, day out, on a daily basis, we start to see signs of this change, yeah. But yet, it feels as though the person who went to kindergarten is the same as who I am now, you know. It feels like I'm the one who went to school, I'm the one who went to the cinema, and enjoyed myself. I'm the one who went to this restaurant, went on the tour. I'm the one who do all these things, yeah. And I'm the one who receive an award or get scolded, and I'm the one who is happy and sad. It's all the same I. Yeah? There seems to be this intuitive sense that it is the same person. Yeah? And this same person doesn't change. No? Doesn't change. So, and not just that. That for some, this personhood or this person then extends beyond just this life. Yeah, there are those who are materialists. Yeah, or in modern times, some people always like to say YOLO. Huh? You only live once. Yeah. Yeah. In which case, then it is not eternal. The I is not eternal. So while there are these three definitions, not everybody subscribe to all of them. And the last one is about this sense of control. In some religion or some school of thought, we call it free will. Yeah, that we are free to decide independently. That is, that when we wake up in the morning and we want to do this or do that, yeah, it's purely just your independent will, you know? Yeah. And even as you sit there, yeah, there is an I who is listening, deciding to listen, and so on and so forth. Sometimes don't you wish that you can just shut off? Yeah. But then your boss keep talking to you. Yeah. And then you cannot shut off. Or maybe your spouse, yeah, or maybe your neighbor is quarreling, or you know, just the traffic. Sometimes you wish you can just decide, I don't want to listen, and then, yeah, we can't do that. So we invent boss noise cancellation, you know, yeah. But the fact that we have all that is precisely because we are not autonomous. We are not totally. It is not that we cannot independently decide and do things. We can, but not as independently as we think. We do have control, but limited control, conditional control, not absolute control. No. So in the midst of all that, then when we come back to look at selfless attitude, what does that mean? Yeah, what are the implications? Yeah. You see that today I wrote a lot of Chinese words here. There's one chunk here. This is the opening. San Lun Ti Kong. So literally means the three spheres of body that is empty. Yeah, or the emptiness in terms of these three categories. That whenever anything happens, or whenever you do anything, there's these three categories to consider. Yeah, and they are, firstly, so let me just write down there. What's going on? So, three categories. Of emptiness. So, the first category is 作者. Yeah. So let me just list it down. 作者, 事物, and 受者. So the first category, 作者, means the doer. Yeah. So in any activity or any interaction, there is the doer, yeah, or agency, yeah, the person who is making it happen. Okay, it can be a person, it can be a group of people, or an organization as well. You know? So the first one is the doer. Second is the object, yeah, or in some cases is the event itself, yeah. It may be that you give something, so then there's the giving and the thing you give itself. Yeah? Or it can be something less material. Yeah? Something less material. Maybe you offer help. Yeah? Oftentimes when you offer help, it's not something tangible, physical, yeah? But it's the whole process. Okay? And then lastly, it is the recipient, yeah? The beneficiary, the person that you are rendering help towards, yeah? Or you're doing something towards. Okay, so doer, and then the recipient, and the act or the object. Okay? Or should it be subject? Yeah, object. Okay, so there's these three categories. So the interesting thing is that, well, on one hand, we say that there's the doer. We say that the doer is empty. Empty of any inherent self. Mm. To put it simply, no doer. Yeah. Or more correctly, yeah, when you really go down to the gist of it, it is that there's no permanent doer. Mm. Is there a doer? There is. Yeah. If there's no doer, then what is happening? Yeah. Is there someone speaking now? Say yes. Yes. Yeah. Is there someone listening? Yes. Yeah. Then is there something said? Yes. But in this teaching it says, no, no, no. Yeah. It says, if you think that there's someone speaking, think again. Yeah. Again, not that there's no one speaking, but no substantial, permanent entity that is speaking. For that matter, all of you see a different person speaking. You understand? If we say that there's a person speaking, it assumes that it's the same person. But the truth is, all of you perceive a different person speaking. Physically, maybe yes. Yeah, that's only. I hope you all only see one person here. You know, in the how long have you been in Singapore?
3 days.
3 days. Oh, and how long more are you going to stay here?
Three more days.
She's just visiting
me.
Visiting, okay, and you have been here for?
I've come and go.
But you know about the Ghost Festival?
Yes.
Ah. Okay, good. Yeah, so in case once in a while you see more speakers. So. I'll share with you more later. Yeah. So, even as we speak, each of you will perceive a different speaker. For the two of you, is this the first time you see a monk?
No.
So you already have an idea of a monk. So when you came here, you see, okay, yep, more or less the same. Yeah. Maybe the color of the ropes is slightly different. Maybe that monk speak English or don't speak English. Minor variants. Yeah. But by and large, enough to fit in with your definition. Yeah. So we say there's actually a monk in each of you. If you see a monk outside, there's already a monk inside you. Yeah. And it more or less matches. Then, as you experience it, then you conjure up another monk. Yeah, so there are three monks. One that is physically outside. But the one physically outside is actually not called monk. It's just conventionally called monk. Yeah. By the conditions, then we say it's a monk. Mm. By itself, any part, is there anything monkly about this hand? How about the hair? How about these spectacles? How about this? Is there anything monkly about this? This is tricky, huh? If you say no, then what am I wearing? But if you really examine, this is just ordinary thread, isn't it? Yeah? It's just that piece together, and then because you recognize this as the Sangha, the Sangati, yeah? Or the monk's robe, then you think this is monk's robe. Yeah, because in the Buddha's time, the robes is nothing special really. It's just pieces of cloth that people throw away. And then the monks, you know, clean it. And initially it wasn't dyed in a uniform manner. It was just cloth. Yeah. Because back then, people, you know, there's no t-shirt back then. Yeah, so people just take pieces of cloth and wrap themselves up. Yeah. In fact, the way they wear their clothes has some semblance to the ancient Greeks. Yeah, the way they wrap themselves up. Yeah. In fact, you know, you see this? And if I were to do this, like
almost there,
you know? Yeah, all you need to do is have this white in color. And have a blue strip stripping, and that's it.
You don't do blue strip.
No? Or what color would it?
It would be gold.
Gold? Ooh, fancy. So, the doer. So even as we speak, the so-called doer is really a collection of different factors and conditions coming together. Yeah, not quite like what we readily perceive to be a singular monolithic entity. That we say, this person did this, that person did that. And then there's the act itself. Yeah, the activity, the thing that the person do, or the object. Yeah, in the case, if let's say you give something, then there's an object. Like, let's say when now that I'm speaking, there is the speech, right? Yeah, that is being transmitted. But now if I were to 忽然间用华语的话, 我还是在讲, 但是你们有一些就听不懂了。 那主要我忽然间讲 Hokkien 为了问问题了。 如果我们开用广东话, 笑死人了。 So, just because it's speech doesn't mean that it is cognizable. Yeah, so for it to be, let's say, in this case, speech, for the speech to be a teaching, there are so many things required. Yeah, plus the state of your mind as well. Even if you can understand it, like in English, but you need to be in the right frame of mind with the right understanding, then you see it as teaching, you know? And also the emotional state. Yeah. So there are so many things on the side of the receiver that shapes whether this object is this or that. Yeah. Now we may say that, oh, but you know, speech is subjective. But how about something physical, a tangible gift? Yeah, like let's say flowers. You know, flowers. I just happen to choose flowers, okay? Would you like to receive flowers? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. It would be nice if, let's say, your family members give you flowers, yeah, or your spouse or your loved ones. Yeah. What if you receive flowers from your boss? And it's not Valentine's Day. Like Valentine's Day, anybody and everybody can give flowers to anybody, and you know, you can just say, oh, it's Valentine's Day, I'm going to give everybody, yeah? But then out of the blue, your boss suddenly give you flowers. A small little cut, with heart shape. Yeah? And imagine that same gift given by your spouse, or your boyfriend, or girlfriend, or whoever. Or your kids. Yeah? Then, you see how even something physical and tangible is not always the same. Yeah. Or for that matter, if you were to get into a cab, yeah, called Grab, and then when you get in, the first thing the guy turn around and, this for you, a bouquet of flowers. Yeah. Would it be the same? Probably not. Yeah. So even the act or the object itself, yeah, is empty in nature. And likewise, the recipient. Yeah. The recipient is also not a fixed, monolithic, tangible, substantial, permanent entity, yeah, that we quite naturally perceive. Yeah. But it is actually a lot more fluid, dynamic, conditional. So there are these three categories or layers, if you will, of emptiness. Yeah, for more information on emptiness, yeah, Ten Heart Sutra. Yeah, I have a 10-week course on this. So the gist of it is that what we perceive, what we see as something very solid, yeah, is actually empty of any inherentness. Yeah, that inherent nature don't exist. So, having established all this, then we can perhaps consider, is it easy to see this? Because if you can see clearly that the doer, the act, and the recipient are all empty, then it's maybe it's easy for us to have to be selfless. Or does it help? Sometimes, I don't know whether you all have this feeling. Sometimes when we learn Dharma, we go so deep into the principle itself, because the principle itself is very profound, you know, that it's almost like at the end of the day, we are so overwhelmed by the principle that we're like, okay, I think that's enough. And then we forget about how to use it in reality. Yeah, it's like learning everything about how H2O is, and then you forget to drink the water. You know? Yeah. So what? So what if it's empty? Yeah. Here I put down, but why? Okay, it is empty. Yeah. If it's empty, but then in that case, why should we be selfless? Is there a rationale for us to be selfless? Yeah, so we can also approach it from the other angle, which is to consider if we are not selfless, what will happen? Yeah, sometimes I like to explore the why first, because developing a selfless attitude, in a way, I've covered it already, but that's the how. Many times we learn how to do something, yeah, but when we really do it, we find it a bit difficult. But the difficulty lies not in the technique, yeah, but lies in the lack of motivation. And it is the rationale behind the reason why this should be done. Yeah. Without that, we can maybe do something for 3 days, 4 days, but to do it long term, not so easy. So, why develop a selfless attitude, even if it's true? Yeah. When I say even if it's true, I'm saying it not because I don't think it's true that it's all empty, yeah, but because cognitively, while we think it's true, but then in real life, do you feel that it's all empty? Doesn't feel that way, isn't it? Doesn't always feel that way anyway. So what happened? What happened in your life? Because this is actually application, it's about the application in your life. Yeah. So you have to tell me. In your day to day, how is it like? Do people act in a selfless manner? To go from selfless to selfish is probably quite extreme. Maybe somewhere in between. Yeah, somewhere in between. Perhaps three areas to look at. One would be home, yeah, with our family. Another would be work. And the last one, perhaps in terms of our friends. Maybe we can throw in a fourth one, yeah, with strangers. Which one do you all want to go first, to look at first? They should really, you know, when I put my hand here, maybe they shouldn't bring up the taskbar. Why are they bringing up the taskbar? Okay, so family. And then work. Friends. And strangers. Okay, so which one first? Work? So how many of you are selfless at work? No one? we live in a sad world. But first, before we jump to a conclusion that you are selfless, let's look at what it means by the non-selfless. Yeah. So when you are not selfless, what does it mean? So let's say, let's consider work. If you focus on your work and your colleague asks you for help, but you tell your colleague that you need to finish your work first before you help your colleague, is that being selfish?
No.
How many of you think it's not being selfish? Okay. And to be selfless, does it mean that you should not care about your work and help your colleague do their work?
No.
No as well. So which of these two extremes do you all do? Do you, or even when you finish your work, you don't help your colleague? Okay, this is a bit sensitive. Maybe you do, but a bit paisei to say it. A bit embarrassing to say it. Looks like that's the real answer. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yes. My point is, do we sometimes, you know, choose not to help even when we are free?
Depends on who asks for help.
Depends on who, right? So the recipient. You see? This is so interesting. Yes. So the recipient of our help. If it's a colleague that we are on good terms with, then no problem. Yeah, we may even delay our own things and say, "Hey, come on, no problem. Come, what do you need?" Yeah, and then we'll maybe ask our boss for more time and then help the colleague, right? Maybe. But if it's this colleague who is always very picky about things, yeah. When you go over and ask them to process certain things, they are like, "No, I can't process it. Why? Because this. Yeah. Always take the whole stack of all the regulations to tell you why it cannot be done. Yeah. Or maybe it is one of those colleagues who, during the department meeting, just tear down your proposal. Yeah. Not so happy anymore. Yeah, so the recipient is important. Yeah, the who. Who is the one? Yeah, who is receiving the help? So why should we be selfless? What's wrong with that? Oh wait. I almost jumped the gun. So if you act in that way, meaning that you are selective, yeah. Who to help and how much to help, does it mean that you are not selfless? We like to think that, but Shifu, that's normal ma. Everybody is like that. Yeah, correct or not? I think most people are like that. Yeah. So the question is, do you want to continue to be like most people? Yeah, because this topic is, it's not my fault. I don't know who chose this topic. Yeah, this topic is not about being like everybody else, you know? Yeah, because we have this Slido link and then we let people choose the topic, right? Most people don't spend time on Sunday afternoon chanting and then meditating. So, this topic itself is not about just being another person at work. Yeah. But I want to go out on a limb to say that maybe we don't have to beat ourselves over it if you're like that. Meaning, you know, you are selective in who you want to help. I'm not saying that I agree with it, but I'm saying you don't have to beat yourself over it for a start. Yeah. Over the past for however long. I sometimes think we should do what we can do first. Meaning, if at this point in time, that's all you can manage, meaning selectively help people. If that's all you can manage right now, then try to do that. Don't go backwards for a start. And then once in a while, maybe once a week, maybe once a few weeks, you can ask yourself, okay, it's like going to the gym, you know, every week you go there and you just carry the same 10 pounds. And after a while, you got to ask yourself, okay, what else do you want to do? Maybe you want to try 15 pounds. Yeah, because developing a selfless attitude is quite challenging, almost counterintuitive. Yeah. Because our usual is, you know, we have the quid pro quo kind of attitude. I help you, you help me. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. Right? Yeah. No?
I think that's the point of being selfless, when you help without expecting anything.
Yes. But my point is, the default is not like that. The default is we usually have the mindset, I help you, you help me. Okay, maybe you're more selfless than you know. But I think in Singapore, there's a general attitude. Yeah, because if everybody is really selfless, we don't have to have this class. I can just jump straight into Q&A. So maybe let me just get one thing straight. Are you all selfless already? No, not quite. Okay, so yeah, that's why. So the default is not so selfless. Yeah, or maybe not 100% selfless. Okay, so that's why we have to have this discussion here. Yeah, so what happens? Why are we resistant to that? Why are we resistant to helping certain people? Let's examine that.
So sometimes it's not only about scratching back, but you know, the whole environment is so complicated. And you see many people with ill intentions, right? Why would you want to help those people? It's like that sense of disgust is like, what is he trying to do, right?
Wow.
So the last thing you want to do is to help that person achieve his objective, right? That's my main obstacle in what I don't want to do.
Okay.
Help.
So disgusting people.
All they care for is their own personal political agenda, right? There are tons of such people in office.
Do you all find that you meet people who are like that, who is just preoccupied with their own agenda, their own goal, they're motivated almost. I always like to avoid using absolute statements, you know. So almost, yeah, always, yeah, almost always, not always, yeah. Because all they have to do is just do it once and then it's nullified. Yeah, so almost always. But maybe that's what they are thinking about us also, you know. Yeah. I'm not suggesting that there are no bad people out there. Yeah. That everybody is just la 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 happy, you know. No. There are people who maybe have some bad experiences in the past. Or whatever. Maybe the person is just evil. Yeah. Sounds strange coming from a monk, but I like to look at all different possibilities. That there are nice people, and then there are evil people, bad people. And then there are people in between, you know, with bad experiences, and then so more inclined to just do a preemptive strike first. You know, before you can harm me, let me just give you a slap to make sure you don't harm me. Yeah. So, what happens if you take the first step to just help? More proactive than what is normally required. I want to share a real life example that I've shared before in class, and it's about working on projects with our teammates. Yeah, because if it's across departments, sometimes it's not how much what you think, but you know, the decision by the team, yeah, in particular your boss. If your boss say no, then you know it's a bit tricky. Yeah, so within a team, with the team dynamics. So there was one time, I was working on some projects. So our usual approach in projects would be to try to push through our own ideas. Yeah. And not so much, we may not be consciously thinking, oh, I want to push through my ideas because I want to be the one to gain credit. Sometimes maybe we actively want that, but sometimes simply because it's my idea. You know, and that's where the self thing comes in. Simply because it's my idea versus your idea, why should I give in? Why should I do it your way? Why not my way? If both things, all things being equal, why should I, you know, be the one to budge? So there was one time when I was working on a project. It was a project with EIS in Thailand, and then the two of us flew over. Yeah, I'm kind of skipping the front part, just get straight to that part. So anyway, as we were discussing, the important thing is that I'm not always like that. My usual approach is, like, I don't care whether that person is a senior consultant or whoever, yeah, MD for that matter. If I think my way is better, I'm going to just go for it, man. Yeah. And by any standard, I don't think, you know, in the corporate world, anyone would frown on that. Most people will just look at you and say, well, he's a go-getter guy, you know. Yeah. But during that discussion, I thought to myself, okay, is there any merit, yeah, in his suggestion, his proposal, his angle? And I thought, well, seems like it will work as well, you know. As they say, many ways to skin a cat, isn't it? Yeah. The trouble is, it's not my way to skin a cat. Yeah. Many times we get stuck in, like, pointless arguments and discussion simply because it's not my way. We want it my way. Yeah. So, for myself, during that discussion, I don't have to say that I was selfless, but it was simply because I have decided to become a monk. Yeah. So that took out the vested interest. I no longer have vested interest in wanting myself to succeed. What's interesting is that when that happens, then it freed me to really think about the success of the project and not my personal success. You know, it doesn't mean that I don't care about the outcome. It just means that I care lesser about my outcome, the outcome's impact on me. And as a result, I was able to really think about the outcome for the team. Yeah. And when I did that, I realized that I cannot, with a clear conscience, insist that it must be done my way. So I told my colleague, yeah, I think your way will work. Let's do it your way. Yeah. And as I've shared before, the colleague was a bit like, huh? He was a bit stunned, you know? Yeah, taken aback. Because usually, all the teams would always, like, you know, try to get things done that way. Yeah. So there was a bit of hesitation on his part, because he probably thought, this is a trap. You know, yeah, this guy must have seen something coming, you know, and so readily just agree to my way. Oh, so he was looking, going through his own approach. And then, no, don't worry, we'll work on it. Yeah. And the key thing is to be sincere about it. Yeah. Yeah, because after that, it's the after that that's important. Because after that, do you still put in the extra mile to make it work? And I tell you, when I was working, I've seen so many projects fail, not because the idea is wrong, but because those other teams or the supporting groups that didn't get things done their way, just make sure that the other way didn't work. It's just so crazy, you know. I don't know how much human resource have been spent in the whole world just going through this. It's mindless. It's crazy. Yeah. So, but let me argue on the other side now. Okay, and a very, very direct argument is, but Shifu, of course you have no vested interest. You were going to become a monk. I'm not. None for that matter. You know? So that's the thing. We don't have enough faith that this will work. There's always this fear. You know, the prisoner's dilemma. If we both cooperate, the outcome is best. But nobody wants to be the one left with the problem, you know, with the shorter end of the stick. So because of this distrust, then we always try to just get ahead. Yeah. To be the one to do the preemptive strike. Better me than him. Yeah. And then in the end, everybody lose. We spend many hours, many days going through repetitive meeting. There are many things I've suggested about work before, and most of it are non-intuitive. Yeah. On the onset, it would feel as though gallows, you know. Yeah, asking you to sacrifice yourself. But ask yourself, think about it. How long have you been working in the company? You know? I mean, here we are talking about work, right? How long have you been working in the company? How bad can it get? Yeah. Maybe give it a try. You know? Yeah, see what happens. And then 3 weeks later, a whole bunch of them all come in with a letter. I got fired. Or something. I don't know. I don't think that will happen. But it will take time. It will take time to build up a trust. The trust from the other side. Yeah. That they see that you are genuine about it. That you are really concerned about the team's outcome and not just some insidious trap. Yeah. The alternative is something that we have been doing. The alternative is I got against you, you got against me. Everybody spent time building firewall. Not the technology firewall, but the human firewall. Or the politicking. Yeah. Yes.
I've been doing this in the office for a long time.
Well done.
I really delayed one project for the great group of the company. But the recipient.
Oh wait, hang on. When you say you have been doing it for a long time, do you mean the selfless or the non-selfless?
Selfless.
Selfless. Oh, well done.
Because I love my bosses.
Because you love what? Sorry.
My bosses.
Your bosses.
So I did that, but in the end, the recipient perceived that why am I getting into the business? And so the main project that I can see what is needed, and initiated to discuss with bosses and go ahead to do it. But the recipient, I say the sales team and the marketing team, they think that I'm trying to show off or gain credits or whatever that, but that way is never the intention. But the recipient always have the perception that, hey, they're going to do bad just because they didn't think of these ideas or things. So I'm trying to find how to overcome that objection or the way they perceive the whole thing, which I have no intention of. I'm already there. I don't need to prove myself to get there anymore.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
So this is my challenge. Yeah.
Sometimes that's the other thing. When other teams feel that, you know, if they were to go ahead with it, even though everything works smoothly, but they perceive it's like a lot of back and forth mental games they're playing with themselves. Yeah. And then they end up thinking that you're trying to make them look bad, you know. I've ever sat down with individuals before and tell them about whatever plans I have. And even tell them, give them free rein to say, you know, I give you full permission to take this and run with it. But if you don't, I'm going to do it. Sometimes it works. Yeah, but I don't want to paint you all an overly rosy picture as well, because there'll be those who just, you know, cannot buy that. Yeah. They may then go back and spend the whole night calculating 33 steps forward. Wow. And then they may think, oh, this is the master chess player. Even come and show hand with me. There must be some other things. Yeah. But we shouldn't live our life and make our decisions dependent on individuals like that. Yeah. Would there be people who cannot trust? Yes. Would there be people who backstab? Yes. But I think maybe it's to these people that they need this selfless approach even more. Yeah, to show them that there's a different way to do things, or for that matter, to live our life. And maybe if they see it enough times, you know, in psychology they call it the self-fulfilling prophecy. They have a certain worldview, and so when they see something that is different, they go into denial, you know, and they try to jeopardize these efforts, yeah, unconsciously or consciously, to prove that their worldview is correct. Yeah, so it takes a lot of patience as well. Yeah. So this is where, if we go back to the doer, is also dependent on conditions. Yeah. So sometimes, let me tell you my own failure stories. When I initially ordained, I was always very eager to help people, you know. In particular, let me repeat, I am very eager to help people. I'm, in particular, very eager to be the one helping. But over time, I realized that doesn't always work. Sometimes I'm not the right person. Many times, actually. Yeah. And I realized that at some point, I asked myself, am I trying to be the one to help, or am I trying to get them helped? Understand what I'm saying? And so if, for me at least, I realize that if I'm concerned about them getting help, then I should do whatever it takes for them to be helped, even if it means not me being the one. Yeah.
On the other hand, okay, so now on my refinement journey, so I tell myself don't get dirty, so don't get into other species of business if it doesn't concern me.
Yeah.
But because of that notion, I feel guilty, like, hey, I'm being selfish.
Guilty in what sense?
Like, I'm feeling selfish, like don't get dirty. I know that I can see that maybe the project won't work. And then that, because it's not, then I tell myself don't get dirty. But if I don't get dirty, I feel like I should have done something that I didn't.
Oh, but if you get dirty and get involved, they will think that you're trying to claim credit.
Yes. Yeah.
So do them if you do it, them so if you don't.
Do also die, don't do also die.
Sometimes some things have to die.
Maybe
they're
gonna come and ask you for help.
It's never straightforward. But if you can identify someone else who can perhaps go in and get dirty, not to sabo that person, not to get that person in trouble, but to find a suitable person, yeah, who is able to deliver the message and not get killed in the process. Okay?
Mm. Thank you.
Yeah. So selfless, so we'll be back the next 3 weeks to cover family, friends, and strangers. If we really stick to the timing, this is what I have to tell you all now. We have only, like, according to this clock, 3 minutes left. According to that clock, half a minute left. Yeah. But if we go by UK time, we have a few more hours to go. Yeah. I think it's the principle that is important. Yeah. How you apply in the scope of family, friends, and strangers, they will be more specific. Yeah. But if you can get the principle, I think you can apply it accordingly. Yeah. But if any of you have specific cases for beyond work, for family, friends, and strangers that you'd like to, you know, bring up and discuss, feel free to do it now. Yeah. Mm. Actually, I have one more thing here. What will happen? Yeah, which we kind of discussed. Mm. Yeah. So, any thoughts? Any thoughts about the other areas? Yeah. Over the past 10 over years, I've sat down with many families. Yeah, and sometimes I'll tell you, love being love, but when it comes to spousal relationships, sometimes the opposite of selfless is ego. Yeah, that can really get into the way of love. Yeah, yeah, I love you, but do it my way, and I love you. You know? Sometimes the conflict is less insidious, you know, it's less intentional. I've seen how certain couples, they unwittingly put down their spouse, yeah. And if you sit down with them, they'll be like, no, I didn't mean for it that to, but then they keep doing it, you know. Huh? Well, that escalated quite quickly. Sometimes I tell people that, you know.
But it's true. Mm. That means you're annoyed with the person who's probably one of you with the person. It unconsciously happens all the time.
Yes. But I don't decide for them. Yeah. Although sometimes on the first, you know, sometimes when I sit down with people and they spend a lot of time trying to convince me otherwise, I'm like, wait. I don't have to convince you. If you insist on this, then go ahead, go your separate ways. By sitting down with you, I'm not trying to convince you to be together or apart. I mean, look at me. What do I care? You know, yeah. Because you are the one who is going to face the consequences, not me. You know, whether you are together or not. Yeah. That often puts some sense in them and they stop fighting with me. I was like, why fight me? But yeah. So, and sometimes I tell them, maybe in some cases, the best thing for couples is to just be apart for a while, you know, and really think, do you want to be together? Yeah. Yeah. So, I want to say that, again, the selfless attitude may not be readily what we are able to do today. But recognizing that we are not that selfless is as important as being selfless. Yeah, because who wants to admit that we are not selfless? You know? Good? Yeah. But to recognize it is important. Because then we stop painting, stop trying to live up to some, I don't know whether it's an Asian thing, but you know, we tend to want to, unconsciously perhaps, live up to a selfless image. Yeah, because part of our culture, you know, there's a lot of conditioning. Yeah, we must be civic, you know, we must think for others, and so on. But then, maybe we're not quite there yet. Yeah, recognizing that helps us to see that there's a shortfall. Then we can ask ourselves, what is the next best thing we can do? Yeah, maybe the next best thing we can do is, okay, keep it in check. Yeah, or maybe even just let the other person know, I'm currently like that. so that the person have the right expectations. You know, otherwise, you know, and like the case of like what you said, you know, maybe you all shouldn't be together.
No,
I don't know.
Because like even with the family, usually from traditional family, you know, when you have cousins, sisters, parents,
yes,
usually the expectancy of you is that you have to go and do that for them.
Yes.
You know, and all this kind of stuff. So for me personally, then when I go, I'm like, no.
Yes.
I will do something for you, like, if it, I, will, it comes from me.
If I want to.
Because when you start demanding that from me, that's obviously going to be, like, I'm the one. Like, we're this weekend right now, like, Nikki doesn't have to come and spend time with us, or, like, try to show a little bit more Singapore to Sabrina. So, like, but she chooses to spend this weekend instead of doing her own things. And I'm pretty sure she's not gonna come to me next week in the office and be like, hey, you know, you owe me one. That's definitely not gonna happen. So this is how it works in dynamics of friendship. Like, let's say my friends are my family that I chose for myself, so I'm more willing to, I was probably more lenient towards this. Where with your own family is completely different, but every family has different relationships.
Yes. Yes. The expectations. And the worst is the unspoken expectations.
Exactly.
Mm. Those unwritten rules. And that applies to work as well. Yeah. In particular, Singapore culture has a lot of unspoken rules. Yeah. Although you're here for only 3 days and a few days more, let me teach you another word. Remember this. Then when you go back, you can tell your friends and family, I heard this from a wise monk. Zi dong. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not a joke. No, really, really. Yeah. Yeah. Literally means automatic. Mm. Yeah. So, over the years, I learned from different students and friends from China, yeah, and I realized that this is so part of our culture, we don't even need to learn it. It's just the way we are, you know? Yeah, we even have some insulting idioms to describe people who are not like that. We say, bo jia chang. Y'all don't know? Bo jia chang. Bo jia chang. You're bo jia chang. So chang is onion. And bo jia chang means never eat onion. Actually, why? Why bo jia chang means that? I learned it from my mom. Why bo jia chang means bei chi dong? Okay. Now I know. So it's not just any onion. It's the spring onion. Why? Because when you eat spring onion, then the gas, then you put. So it means everything is true. Then? Oh. Or not because we eat, lah.
The spring onion itself is empty, is that right?
Ah. So, tong hei then? Oh, okay. There are some connotation there. But the gist of it means that you know what you should do. And it traces back all the way to Zhuangzi period, you know. Yeah. If I don't recall wrongly, Zhuangzi or one of the Zi, one of the ancient scholars, they have this idea that there is structure in this world.
Like common sense.
Kind of, yes. Yes. Yes, kind of like common sense. But not that common. Yeah. I just posted that a few days ago on Facebook. Yeah. Yeah. That it comes from this belief that in the universe there's structure. As a sun rises and then sets, yeah, that is a structure. And likewise, as a sun, this is what you should do. If you go against that, then it's like expecting the sun to arise from the north. That's wrong. How can the sun arise from the north? Or the sun arise and then stay on in the sky and refuse to go down? Yeah. So when you go to people's place, when it's time to go, you should go. You still don't go. there is like the sun refusing to set. Yeah. And then, but Chinese expect you to know, but don't want to tell you.
We have that in Europe as well.
As well?
Yes.
but Chinese, we have special ways to tell you, although we don't want to tell you. So when we pour the tea for you, if we pour, when you first arrive and they pour very little, it means you're not welcome. But if you stay for too long, they'll pour until it's full. That means you should go already. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of subtle nuances.
I know what to do later.
Yeah. So, expectations. Yeah. I think it's not just Asians or Chinese, but it's just that we express it differently. Yeah. Expressing our expectations can be helpful. Yeah. At least letting people know. And if you are not able to fulfill, also let people know. You know that. Yeah. So that there's more understanding. Okay, I hope this can get us to think. Yeah, how selfless are we? And are we ready to be absolutely selfless? Yeah. Where on this spectrum do we stand? Yeah. And do we have that, if I may say so, that faith to try out something new? Maybe not to become totally selfless, but maybe a bit, baby steps. Just be a bit more selfless tomorrow and see what happens. Okay? Yuan xiao san zhang zhu fan nao.
Yuan xiao san zhang zhu fan nao.
愿得智慧真明了，愿得智慧真明了。普愿罪障悉消除，普愿罪障悉消除。世世常行菩萨道，世世常行菩萨道。阿弥陀佛。
And if I may perhaps just add one line here, this is actually, if you develop this to its fruition, yeah, what will happen? The final fruit, when you bring it to the max, then this is known as the Bodhisattva, or the Bodhisattva path.